It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
Spoiler alert, I'm Johnny B.
And I'm still Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 173, coming to you like a seagull sweeping in to rob your 99 ice cream. On this week's podcast, we get hot and heavy. Whoa, there's a fucking... There's a seagull in here.
Rats with wings.
Neil, get that out of here. This week we get hot and heavy as we talk about polyamory. Mm. No, it's not a new type of polyfill. It's a relationship where there's more than two having all the fun.
Smacks knows about sex, but not about fixing holes in walls. Polyfilla. Yeah.
Polyfilla.
Polyfilla.
Polyfill. Just throw me over that. That's what it's called.
There's an A at the end.
Yeah, I left that out on purpose because I'd be saying, Annie, fill that wall full of polyfill.
You can't even fake it.
It made I am a terrible human. It made see you later. Do this podcast.
20 degrees outside, but you will never see him without his leather jacket. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
A lad called her hot stuff on Instagram during the week. He may have been referring to her sunburn. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as broke college students drinking cans of Tuborg like suck calves, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week. Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Also, got no problem with Tuborg?
Yeah, yeah. Chew it solid.
Anyone got a can? Let's get it on.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's the weekend.
On Maura's mystery topic about allergies, Kira emailed the podcast to say, you guys asked about weird allergies. I've got one for you. I'm allergic to the cold. It's an actual real thing called urticaria. And I first noticed it when I was out. I went to Austria to work as a ski rep back in 2009. If I had been out on the ski slopes for a while or just wandering about, the temperatures below zero, my legs would start to go a bit numb. Not unusual. It's a little bit unusual.
I went to school with a lad whose hands always went purple, like whenever it was cold. Like, I mean, like purple, purple. And then if you press them, press my hand.
Right.
You see, like that just stays normal. His is just like stay white for a while.
It is possible he was in the X-Men.
Thinking back. He did transform at lunchtimes into a flesh-eating robot.
Anyway, with this weird cold urticaria thing, when you go back into the warmth, I start to warm up a bit. That's when the allergies kick in and I break out in a massive, super itchy welts. Talk about an absolute dose. I've been living in Canada for the last 10 years.
You want to get out of there, love?
And with the mad extremes and temperatures we get here, the cold is a pain in the hole to put up with. What was Antarctica full, was it? The South Pole was booked up.
Wow.
I live in Calgary, just east of the Rocky Mountains, and it wouldn't be unusual for us to go hiking in minus 25 degrees or colder.
I feel like she's really got to consider moving to, you know, Lanzarote or even Ireland.
This comes in from Kira, who's really into BDSM by the sound of it. Only joking. She reckons that this hiking has got to be your worst nightmare anyhow, Smacks.
Yeah, it is. Cold hiking. Wow.
For everyone else, getting back into the nice warm car once we're finished the hike is great. I'm always dreading it because that's when the old allergies kick in and I'm tortured with the red welts that show up and I'm trying to avoid scratching my legs so that I don't look like a weirdo. You're probably wondering why in the name of Jesus I've stayed in Canada this long with these allergies kicking up a fuss, and I have to say it's a minor inconvenience compared to the quality of life here. Plus, we have an epic GAA team where the crack is 90, so I'll put up with the allergies for another while yet. Hon Calgary.
What a soldier. That's a terrible thing.
Living in constant pain just for the guy. We've all done it.
Yeah. But no, I'm on about the cold. Remember the time the chalk ice broke out in, like, we went out to Glengarra swimming.
Right.
Down, like, there's a little bit of a waterfall. Yeah. And it was sunny. Now, in fairness, bear in mind, right, this is probably autumn and it's the one day of sun we got. Went down a little waterfall into the water. And then, like, chalk was like, are you really cold? I was like, oh, it's freezing. Yeah, I'm better get out. Like, and then he got out and was like, we're coming into the car, and he was like, what are all these red dots on me?
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I think he was like getting hypothermic or something. I had to bring him in home quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, dish him off. He was all right now.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's arrived to tell us that. Also, you're always complaining of the cold. I don't know if it's a disease or you're just a pussy.
Yeah, I'm just a gowl.
Right, Leona was in touch. She said, I recently learned that an allergy to exercise is a real thing. And I don't mean being allergic to the idea of getting sweaty and breathless. I've been running for a few years and train regularly, but good tubbing. During a run in December, I found myself lying on the floor of a local filling station and then being carted off in an ambulance to A&E. My lips, legs and arms had swollen up, skin blistered and vision blurred. The doctors originally thought that the reaction was from a wrap I had eaten earlier that day, but after three more similar reactions without running and a trip to an immunologist, it turns out I have an allergy with a nice straightforward name. Wheat-dependent exercise-induced allergy, or WDEIA. For the shortened funky abbreviation. Basically, I can't eat wheat 2.5 hours before or an hour after exercise, or I have a histemic reaction. I mean, that sounds very bad. I don't know what it is. There's a component in wheat called omega-5 gliadin that my body has a histemic reaction. Fucking hell. Just tell us. You don't like wheat.
Yeah.
I am in no way intolerant. Oh, God. No, I am in no way intolerant to wheat or gluten otherwise, and I love all things pastry and bread. I'm 30 and have never had any problem up to this year when my body decided, nah, we don't like wheat and movement together. Strange how allergies can develop out of blue. That's mad, Leona.
So she couldn't drink a load of beer and then go play a match?
No, she could drink a load of beer, but just not 2.5 hours beforehand.
Hopefully be out of her system.
Yeah.
Nathan said, through my young life, I've only figured out that I'm allergic to one thing, and it wasn't a great experience finding out. Turns out I'm allergic to latex.
Oh.
And to my horror, I had no idea of this until my first time to do the deed. I was keeping safe, you know, and all was good until a few hours later, and I noticed the lad being a little red. I thought nothing of it, thinking this was what usually happens after your first time. Next few days were extremely painful, and the thoughts of dreaded STI, STDs, and stories you hear in school were running through my head, thinking I'd caught something. So I went off and got a test. It turns out that I had nothing. So I went to the college doctor, because I wasn't going to my local GP telling them who might tell the mother I was in.
Yeah, confidentiality, like that stands for everything except when your mother asks.
As it turns out, I had a reaction to the latex and the condom. And was advised to wear latex-free condoms. I'll tell you, lads, it was a frightening time when your lad is glowing red and sore to the touch.
Ooh.
Lads would go to China rather than their local GP when it comes to that stuff for yeah. fear he would tell your mother.
I heard a rumour once that a lad in town didn't have a condom, so he used a tato bag.
In this town?
Yeah.
Do I know him?
Yeah, I'll tell you there.
Okay.
But that was the story of Teo back.
That's got to be an urban legend.
I don't know. It's latex free, though, isn't it? So you know,
I don't know. Is it?
You might consider it, Nathan.
Well, it's not fucking salt and vinegar free, is it?
Bang a monster munch off your fucking chap.
Is that sour cream? You animal.
I mean, I don't know how the ladies would feel about
barbecue.
It was like strawberry flavored. It's like fucking McKay's flame grilled. Jesus, it's weird. Your willy tastes exactly like McKay's.
Were they crinkle cut? You dirty animal. Man, doctors know some amount of stuff. Imagine you come home. Well,
they're like modern day priests. You know, the priests knew everything back in the day. Now the doctor knows.
And he cracked today. Imagine, oh no, I just had the doctor in. I had the president in for a checkup. Just routine, you know. And he's riddled with... I hope he's still writing.
Who? Miggley?
Yeah. You know what I mean? You want your president to be...
active.
Yeah. Well, we've got messages in from people who work in nursing homes, and like, so we know that it still goes on. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think our president is still burying the bald soldier.
I just seen during the week that Mara put in an interview request for Michael D. I can assure you now, after you saying, I hope our president is burying the bald lad. He won't be coming on the podcast anytime, Spotify or no Spotify. Yeah.
Well, what about Joe Biden? 78. The Americans, like, they're all about strength and all. They've got to be hoping he's still doing his bit.
Like. He's outside chopping wood by coming inside then.
If he's not able to do the deed, like, should he be running the biggest military in the world?
That's true. That's true. It's a good stress relief.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay.
I hope our Taoiseach has a big Mickey. It's none of my business, like. It's very personal. But if we go and send the people out to the EU or whatever.
Mm. Have you had else now? Have you made a list of stuff to say to try and get us in trouble?
I just want, you know what I mean, Irish representatives to have that big dick energy.
Okay, okay, all right.
Or our female. Our next president is female.
Big fanny energy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? She's going over meeting, like, it'll probably be Prince Charles at that stage, or King Charles, as he'll be.
No.
And
is there any, have a think now. Any other government rant you want to insult before we move on to the
next? Sorry for jesting that the Queen in her 90s might eventually die. I know you think she's a shape-shifting lizard who will live forever, but I would like it if like people were meeting the Irish president as a woman and they were like, fucking hell. I'd say it's a bit of cut off that one, you know?
Well, okay, okay.
She doesn't exist yet.
No. Fuck.
What did Jimmy say?
I'll tell you exactly what Jimmy said. He said, when I was young, in my early 30s, I used to wear Nike runners. Other brands are available. I had to stop wearing them, though, to my disappointment, as my feet started to smell like cat piss. Yes, cat piss. No other way of describing it. It was nasty. Didn't have any issue with any other runners. Tried everything under the sun to mask the smell. Nothing worked. It's been almost 20 years since. I am tempted to give it another go. Anyone else have the same issue? Lads, what the hell? Only Nike runners.
No idea.
He's asked for our help. That's what we do here in the Two Johnnies podcast. Any of the listeners, if your feet smell like cat piss from wearing Nike runners, I just want to say Nike, I think you were a top class brand.
Give Jimmy a shout.
Yeah, just let us know and we'll pass it on to Jimmy. You know, poor lad's been wearing Reebok since.
Another listener said, lads, I've been waiting for a chance to write in. I'm a junior doctor working over in England, but I'm still a proud Galway man. Do you want him to explain the allergies? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, there's different types. You have hypersensitivities. Your body gets in contact with the day-to-day material or food, etc., and has a wild, exaggerated response quickly afterwards. That's a hypersensitivity.
So that would be like nuts, something like that? Your body comes in direct contact.
Anaphylaxis is the most recognised and dangerous one that you see in the films where you eat food or nuts, etc., and your face and tongue swell up and you can't breathe. That's why they use an EpiPen. An EpiPen?
An EpiPen, yeah.
An EpiPen. They definitely need to go to hospital. And the one Maura was describing sounds like probably contact dermatitis, where a material is on the skin. Your skin has a reaction and goes red and itchy all over. You'd usually see that with nickel in jewellery. Some plant leaves like nettles and shampoos and washing powders. It can happen to anyone, really, but can be worse in people with sensitive skin. Yeah. I can't state medically whether dock leaves work against nettle stings. But it's still the first thing I'd try if I was out in the field.
Well, that's good to hear that coming from a junior doctor, yeah.
It's basically, he said it's a fact.
Okay.
Yeah. That's basically saying it's a stone wall.
Yeah.
Watertight.
Dock leaves cure nettle stings.
Yeah, there you go. The Galway doctor has just said it exactly. And he said, I don't want to scrap with the sheep farmers of Ireland, as both my parents were raised on farms and I'll have no chance of getting some road frontage off the uncles if I do. So I'll stay PC. Sheep farmers, okay.
Yeah. Now, like, as Maura knows, you don't want to bring any type of farmers on you.
Unless it's on a night out.
Yeah. Yeah. Or for marriage, yeah.
With something like wool, it could be a combination of an allergy where your body thinks the fibres are something you need to react to, or the physical irritant feel of wool on the skin causing discomfort, but also chemicals or washing agents used to prepare or clean the wool before being made into clothes, etc. The main way to treat it is exactly what Maura's doing, recognising it and avoiding it. If you're worried about it, go to the doctor.
Wow. Sometimes this podcast throws up some gems like that. Like, there's actual information from a doctor.
Yeah, the main thing I'm thinking is that, like, dock leaves cure nettle stains.
Yeah, there's a lot of students going, that's great information I got from Two Johnny's podcast. Now I don't want to spend €50 on going to my GP. And, you know, that's what we provide. But we'd also like to just state, you know,
give the doctor a twist as well.
Give him a twist.
Give him a twist.
There you go. Neve emailed on allergies. We've got loads of allergy stuff in this week. I have some random ones. Cats. Same reaction as smacks with the horses. Right? Neve gets. Lemons and raspberries trigger migraines for me. I did a food diary for 4 months. It was a pain in the hole, but it worked. If I have either now, I'll have a blackout migraine within 6 hours. Even down to lemon in a glass of Coke, I can't have.
Lad, imagine four raspberries last night, lad. I was off me beak in the walk up in the Holy Lands, lad. I was bananas.
That's a dose. But the weirdest one for me is vodka. Neve says, so in college, I would have horrific hangovers of just constant vomiting. I'm talking like can't get out of bed to get the train home bad. My dad would have to drive to Athlone from Kilkenny to get me. Went to a kinesiologist like Johnny B and she said I'm allergic to a specific potato. Grand, I thought. But then I looked into it and that spud in particular is used to make vodka. I can drink rosé or tequila until they come out of my ears and the worst I'd have is a headache the next day. If I had even one vodka on a night out when drunk, I know the next day because I'll be head in the toilet all day puking. I've stayed away from it ever since, but when I have the odd slip, Jesus, do I suffer. So it's microwave salted popcorn, blue Powerade, Gatorade, as soon as you stop getting sick and have that 10-minute window of peace into a hot shower and steam yourself. I know, Smacks, you get awful hangovers from what you've mentioned. It may be worth looking into because it might be something small that you need to change to know you won't have the fear the next day. I don't think any allergy in the world, Neve, is going to take me away from fear.
You don't want to know if you're allergic to something.
But that's the thing. I enjoy everything I eat at the moment. Yeah. So I don't want to bring the negativity of someone being like, you're allergic to steak. Because as soon as someone tells me, it's like telling a child, don't press that button.
Yeah.
As soon as someone says to me, you're allergic to vodka, I'll be out the back, full on Shane McGowan. Do you know what I mean?
Don't you tell me.
No one tells me what to do. I am the podcast.
I'll eat ice cream if I want.
Yeah. That's it.
You love hangovers, man.
I don't love hangovers. I don't know why you keep saying this.
I think you do like to wallow a small
No, thing. I like you see, you're getting mixed up. You think, oh, Smacks loves hangovers. I like my day off.
Right.
So even like, you see, it just occurs that most of my days off are Sundays.
Right.
And it just occurs that most of my Sundays are hangover days.
Okay.
Okay.
It's purely coincidental.
100%. So even if I'm off on a Sunday, I'll still be in my pajamas catching up on what I've missed that week on the telly.
Okay.
So when it's induced in with drink as well, it can seem worse to the greater public or to my inner circle. Okay. Yes, sometimes I like to listen to Hello Darkness, My Old Friend on a Sunday after having a couple of pints. Who doesn't? With a towel over his head saying, why? Why did I say I'd have a barbecue with the neighbour?
Do you remember, like, or when's the last time when you were out on the beer and then the next day had to work or do something productive? Like, we would have done that a lot when we were younger.
I went and hurled a training there 2 weeks ago. Went and hurled a match.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did I hurl? I hurled up a storm.
For about 7 minutes.
Yeah, but like, I just wanted to flash. It was a talent. Like, I just wanted to flash the talent that day and be like, I still got it. Now I am dying inside, so you can take me off now after 7 minutes.
Yeah, I've done it. I'm done now.
But for the first 7 minutes, I was on fire. No, there was something there a while ago that I got up and had a productive day. Actually, we had a few drinks out the actual day of my birthday.
Right.
I had a few drinks that night. And the next day I got up and cleaned the entire house and went and got like lunch for myself and Annie. And like, that normally wouldn't happen because the next day the hangover fear would take over and I wouldn't go to the deli.
Okay.
Just don't feel like interacting with people on the hangover. But all part of living, man. You know?
I used to go to work hungover a lot.
I couldn't do that now. I haven't done that in... When I was in the clothes shop, I used to go in out. I was selling some stuff. I'd be so confident. Because I'd still be drunk.
Yeah.
But, no, when I started in Super Valley, I couldn't. Because one night, I went out, had a few pints, and came in the next morning. And one of the girls in the deli opened up a tub of coleslaw. It was literally like... I had to go outside, get a bit of air. I thought I was going to fall down.
No way.
And I like coleslaw. You know, just had a bad fucking fit of reversals that morning.
I used to do it when I was working for the county council.
Yeah.
Could never do it making hurleys. Too dangerous.
No, you lose the hand. Oh. Same in the butcher county, if the saw as well, that it's not worth it.
Not worth it. But when I was working for the county council, I'd like to apologise to anyone's garden that I got sick in.
Nah, I'd say there's some windows and doors gone into houses over there. Like, there's like... There's a big slant in the window. You're like, that's a new style. That's the Tipperary style.
They'd have been as well off giving me Lego there some Monday morning, to tell you. We've seen some rough places.
Mm.
We went to measure a house one time and it was so overgrown with briars, we missed a window. We didn't know it was there.
Was it a doghouse?
No, it was a bungalow.
Wow.
We went into another house and we were doing the windows and there was such a bad smell that one of the other boys just poured bleach all over the floor around where he was working.
Well, was it like, was it an active houser?
Yeah, they were looking at him. Oh. He was like, you're fucking stink. They were pouring bleach on their carpets and all.
Oh my God. God.
You wouldn't do it now. Sure, you'd be done for the bag now, yeah.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. Hungover days are gone now. Barry, if some fellas drive you to work, like.
Do you feel, I feel like when we were teenagers or turning 18, that's around the time the guards started bagging in the morning.
Yeah, but it really got rampant, I think, a little bit after that. I would say...
And the boom.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago was like peak, like it was like, shit, you can't do that no more. Like, the last time I went hungover to work was the time we went in to do a litter thing for the county council.
Oh, into my, the school that I went to secondary school in.
Yeah, I was, we were after winning a hurling match the day before. I was, there's photos of me like holding up some sort of litter sign. And I'm just absolutely, my eyes are dead in my head. I went up and the local county councillor was like, you're a fucking disgrace. I was like, lame it's all that, will you? I was in the staff room and a couple of teachers were like, do you want a coffee? I was like, yeah, please. Best of luck to everyone doing the litter.
You're going to win?
I don't care. We're going to bring litter back. No, sorry, we're looking to get rid of it. What that one said over there.
Drive it out.
Thank you.
No more litter. O'Neill's shorts. On the topic of sports shorts. This listener has a story that will make you shiver. It happened to a friend of mine a few years back. He was up in Dublin the night before doing the Dublin Marathon. Morning of the marathon, he realised he'd forgotten his special training shorts and decided to wear a pair of the old style O'Neill's shorts over his boxers. During the race, his snake escaped from the cage. So while running, unknown to himself, it started to rub against the seam of his shorts. When he got to the finish line, he looked down and it was a bloody mess. The doctor had to see to it and he was out of action for 6 weeks.
I messaged back this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, the message on Patreon and I said...
They didn't send you a photo, did they?
No. I said, what was cracked? They said he had to get a stitch.
What? Stitching is Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was only slang your mother would say to you to stop you acting a maggot.
I'm going to slow that up. No, yeah.
How did he not notice?
He must have been fair in the zone. Yeah. It's like, when Mickey's falling off, like, who cares?
I don't care.
I'm finishing this marathon.
This is a personal best.
A lad I used to work with in Abbott, done the Dublin Marathon, no train.
No way.
Yeah, went up with one of his friends and was like, sure, I'll run it with you for the crack.
Had he all the gear?
No, he's no sticker or nothing. He wasn't even registered. He ran the race. Ran the whole thing.
Had he a pair of runners?
Yeah, Nike Core Traditions. You know, the flat Nikes. Like.
Flats?
Yeah, flats. Like, yeah.
Animal.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Ran the whole thing. Yeah, now they said he'd take a couple of days off work. It's in a bad way after it. Like. But he done it. Ignorance. Ryan said, on renting and landlords, this is from a previous podcast, my father had a house in a small town quite close to where ye are and he was renting it out. This was in the middle of the boom and peak time for house parties. My father decided it was time to sell the house and he gave the lads living there notice they'd have to move out after next month. All was well and good until the lads were gone and my father went in to inspect the house to see what had to be cleaned up before he sold it. What he wasn't expecting to see was the toilets fully blocked up with shit. The lads had gotten the hump with him for making them move out, so for the last month they were living in the house. They didn't flush the toilets.
It's disgusting.
The shit was so badly blocked up, he had to get someone in to flush out all the drains and almost replumb the house. That'll just show you the dirty bastards that are out there. Who could live with a literal smell of shit for a month just out of pure spite for someone? There's some bad bastards out there.
They all died of dysentery.
That's dangerous. Like. They're all going around with pink eye. Smell of shit in the house. Knock a horse.
One lad with
One lad went in and flushed it and they were like, for God's sake, Damien. And I tell you, just keep shitting. What are you flushing for?
If he's well off, just fight the landlord.
Oh yeah.
Don't do that.
Fucking like slash his tires.
Resort to violence, anything. Just don't do that.
God's sake, have some sort of respect.
On the GAA abroad. David was in touch to say, I'm over in Cornwall for the last 2 years, ended up taking up shinty. You know the one, yeah?
Yes.
Scottish ground hurling. During my time down here, I managed to get dragged into it. Weirdly enough, I was going around college sports fair wearing an Ireland jersey and was scouted from the crowd. I was reassured it was like hurling, but better. I'll leave them thinking whatever they want now, to be honest. Even though I'm about as useful on a hurling pitch as shoes on a snake, I said, feck it, sure, why not? It's only a bit of ground hurling, after all, and everyone involved seems well fond of a few pints. That was back in 2019, and the 2 years I've spent playing it have been nothing but class, and the game has all the makings of what Junior B hurling could be. Lads showing up dying from the night before, mid-game pints, and even some time for the sport itself.
Sign me up.
Just thought I would throw this out there. Are there any Junior B All-Stars in Scotland or parts of England who aren't near a hurling club might like to get in contact with their nearest shinty club and see what it's all about? Also, completely chancing my arm with this one, but seeing as Johnny B used to make hurlies, I was wondering, would you have any recommendations for how to make the old come on heavier? I have asked multiple people who have said some very strange things to me, going from putting it in water to putting it in a pile of cow shite. I have heard that one.
No way.
Putting hurley in cow shite. Yeah, something to do with aging it. You know, we would often age them with a burnt linseed oil.
Yeah.
Rub it on. If you want to make the hurley heavier, obviously get another band.
Yeah.
Second band or a bit of a band. The Kilkenny Keeper a couple of years ago had three bands.
Yeah.
Back in the day, people used to get the heel of the hurley.
Drill lead.
Drill it and tap lead into it. Mm. That's a bit extreme. You'd have to like cover it over then. Referees would...
Yeah,
disqualified.
Frowned upon. Yeah, so if you want to play shinty,
Google it.
Yeah,
what are we? The shinty board.
So I was just about to say. I was like, we can't for GDPR give out David's email. I'm sure, but just Google it. Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merch at twojohnnies.ie. If you want to get some of that merch, I'm kind of somewhere between Junior Doctor and Marathon Man.
Maura, like, who'd you like for the
Junior Doctor gave us genuine information and also said the dock leaves cure nettle stings.
Yeah. I'd like the Junior Doctor, but he has to, you know, when he's on wards, when he's doing rounds, he has to carry his mug around him, because I'd love to see people's reaction when they come in to see their doctor drinking out of a Two Johnnies podcast.
Yes, like, that's there you go, Junior Doctor. Are you happy with that, Sean?
Okay.
Who would you win for?
I don't want genuine information. I want ridiculous stories.
Yeah, I want ridiculous stories too, but like I quite enjoyed Junior Doctor. Took a lot of time there. You know, doctors need a bit of love.
No one's going to remember the information he gave, barred in Dockleaf.
Junior Doctor, can you scientifically just go on record as saying...
Send us a pad of prescription notes.
Yes.
So we can... And
we're joking.
And a thing so we can write sick days for people.
Yes. Yes.
Send them to us. And a mug is yours.
I've surely told this one before, sorry.
I know this correspondence is going to be real long. People are going to be listening, but like, get to the fucking main part. Oh, no, I probably shouldn't say it.
What?
Yeah, sure, look, we can edit it out if like, Mara thinks it could affect my future job opportunities. I robbed a sick day pad out of doctors.
No way.
Yeah, I went in... So I was genuinely sick one time, and I went into the doctor, and she was like, "Oh, we'll have to do a urine sample." And I was like, "Grant." She was like, "I'll go off and get you the jar there."
Yeah.
So she went off, and I was looking at the desk, and I could see the yolk there, and I was like, "Oh, at the time I like hate the fucking job. I think it could have been Iceland or something like that." And I was like, "Oh man, will I rob it?" And then I was like, "Oh my god, it's right there." I was looking around. I was like looking around the room really quick. I was like, "I know we're talking about robbing on the Patreon podcast, but I was looking around. I was like, there's no cameras, so I'm going to go for it." So the full pad was there, and I was like, well, I better not rob the full pad. Now that'd be completely taking the piss. So I put my hand in, grabbed half the pad. It was a really little small pad. Ripped off half the pages, right? And then just panicked like fuck. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? So do you know what I've done? I was like, where'll I hide it? So I took off my shoe, folded it up, put the paper in my shoe, and then like shoved it in, and like literally I had to like limp out. I came in with a cough and limped out the door, like, then I was added in my shoe.
In case she strip searched you.
I got around 13, like, no, you know, headed paper, 13 of them, like. And I think I got 2 days off with them. It took me ages to try and, like, get, like, to forge and write, and, like, write the right stuff on it. Like, I was overthinking it. And, like, I found loads of them recently in... I have like all old insurance discs and shit, like, and I found it in the middle of it. And it was just like a lot of them had my autograph on it. I don't know why I was doing that. Fucking wasted.
Were you practicing on the actual notepad?
Yeah, I know. I know, Johnny. I know. This is around 8 years ago. Right? I was very immature. I should have just practiced on like scrap paper.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Junior doctor, email podcast at the twojohnnies.ie with all your details. And we want to see a photo of you in the white coat with the stethoscope drinking from this mug. More, I'll get the mug sorted out. We get out to you in the next couple of weeks. And honestly, though, if you have any prescription pads, send them this way.
Yeah. Just for research.
Yeah, just for totally for research. Weekly roundup, John. What's been going on this week?
What's been going on, John boy?
Not much. Just robbing prescription pads and shit like that.
How do you know somebody goes hiking?
Because they tell you. Oh, you absolute hiking wanker. I have to say it all, lad. Sorry, for anyone who didn't see, you went hiking. You put some photos and videos up on Instagram. Mm. Just one of them, you looked like absolute shit.
Oh, in the bed, yeah.
I swear to God, I was at home and I was like, Jesus, that lad does not look well in that.
I was camping and I woke up at 3 a.m. I'm not going to lie to that. I was freezing. And at that point, I went out for a pee and I thought, fuck this, I'm never doing this again. Yeah. This is terrible. And then I kind of woke up the next morning and the second day was good. So, you know what I mean? You blur the memory. But for a little while there, it was terrible.
And you don't like honestly now, you don't like the cold. Like you would almost, like you'd get into my car and be angry that the car was like so cold.
I know.
Everywhere you go, you have a jacket.
Yeah, I always bring a jacket.
Yeah, so like you're always panicked by the cold. You hate getting sick. Like,
yeah.
I think we're playing indoor soccer one day, you'd woolly hat on. I mean, I don't even know how it's possible to be cold in playing indoor soccer.
I was a very sick child. I was in hospital out with my asthma as a kid.
Right, so that's what it is. Yeah, so that's why you wear a woolly hat.
The mother has me threatened. Okay. Did you leave the house without a jacket?
Dad, were you one of those kids?
How are you, ma?
Were you one of those kids at like under 12 soccer training who like played matches with a woolly hat on because your man wouldn't let you take it off?
I didn't play under the soccer, but you often wear a hat.
Everyone had shorts and socks and shin guards on, but you had full length tracksuit bottoms on.
I looked like I was going skiing. I was like the Michelin man going around the place, not all year. Okay, long story short, I went hiking. The gist of it, the Wicklow Way.
Mm.
I walked from Glendalough to Marley Park, which is about 55 kilometres over 2 days, carried the gear, camped. The backpack was about 16k.
Bear Grylls shit, lad.
Yeah, longer and harder than I thought.
Yeah.
Once you get past the 20k, I was kind of looking for the end. I was like, this was nice now for a while.
Yeah.
I have blisters.
When you said to me you were going, I was like, mad bastard. I was like, we have a really busy couple of weeks coming up. And yeah. I was like, I'm like, do not in the weekend. I was like, I'm literally not even, I was thinking about getting a commode for the weekend to avoid having to walk to the toilet. And then Johnny's like, I'm going hiking 50k. I was like, fair play, lad, off on your bike.
And look, it's an experience. I wouldn't be doing it all the time, but yeah. I would recommend it. And camping was great crack. Now, the big walk up to it, a bit much, but camping with lads is great crack. And until I arrived on, it didn't occur to me, what do you do if you need to take a shite?
Oh.
So they bring a little trowel, like you're gardening, a little poo trowel.
Right, yeah.
And you bring your toilet roll, and then you like dig a hole. And do your business into it and then cover it back up like you're re-sodding the goal mouth.
Like a bad cat, lad.
You tap it down, you tidy it down. Like I showed you the photo, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it looked neat. In fairness, like...
No, not of me.
No,
business,
I didn't see it.
I'll send it on to you more.
I can imagine. Look at that for a shit. Look at that for a turd.
I could use my imagination.
There's no poo in the photo. It's just of the before and after. It's like it's a really tidy job.
Yeah. Well, it looked like Dermot Gavin came in and dug the hole, Phil. He's just perfectly sodded.
Shiting outside. It was a wonderful experience.
I like weeing outside.
Oh, you should try shiting outside.
I won't be able to squat and shit now.
The mechanics.
Too painful. Like, I sat on my knees.
I sat in a log.
Sat in a log and dropped the log. Wow.
Easy now.
What a weekend. That's living.
So for food, the boys are like, a few of them are mad into it. And they went to, there's a big shop up in Dublin where they sell all that gear.
Supplies.
They had like armory surplus, you know, dried foods you add water to. And they brought little gas stoves and stuff.
Yeah,
and of course, I brought a full bag of chicken rolls.
Literally, honestly, you're not even joking. Like.
On the first day, I ate 3 chicken rolls.
Wow.
So then the next morning.
€4 each.
Yeah. Get them while they're hot. They're fine while they're cold too. The next morning then I had one of those army ration things. And then that was it. I was out of food. Because I'm like a fool.
Oh, so those lads that you went hiking with must have hated you after around 20 minutes.
Well, I said to the boys, like, yeah, but sure, you said we were passing the shop, aren't we? Bit of a mix up there. There's no shop in the Wicklow Mountains, right?
So a true tree of off the mountain.
We're passing the car park where all these other people are starting their hike. And there's a coffee van.
Mm.
So I got about 25 euro worth of flapjacks. And I just ate them for the day.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
So a great weekend. You want to know where you're going.
Yeah.
My mate actually designed and owned a hiking app, Hiker, so he knows the crack. I was just following him. I didn't know where I was going.
Yeah. Fair play to you. It's something mad to do now.
We should go camping, though. Without the hike, camping is fun. It's kind of fun.
I'd go glamping now. Camping is probably a stretch.
Yeah, but watching your friends struggle putting up the tent is fun.
Okay. I'll go camping if it's like, you know, we can like cook a steak on an open fire and have a few bottles. Okay. I'm into that now.
We could try that.
Yeah. Probably you'd have to bring some sort of had you Tylerol?
Yeah, I had Tylerol.
Oh, yeah.
See, you want to bring all these things, but the more things you bring, the more things you have to carry.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd rather bring Tylerol than food.
Yeah, but I brought both.
Yeah, yeah, you got to do that.
You're not allowed light fires, as far as I know, in the Wicklow Mountains. Although I did look down the hill and spot about 25 other people with fires. So, you know yourself.
Wild weekend, Johnny, you lived. I didn't do too much. Yeah, caught up in EastEnders a few bits, you know.
Great.
Got to be living. Don't forget that on the 14th of June, this podcast will be only available on Spotify. So all the back catalogue will stay wherever. If you listen on Apple Podcasts now or Castbox or wherever you listen now, they'll stay there. But on June the 14th, all episodes, the new ones, will only be available on Spotify. And to our Patreon listeners, nothing's going to change over on the Patreon. That's all staying the same over on Patreon.
Download Spotify. It's free. And a few Johnny's podcasts is free.
Yeah. I think we should maybe spend another minute just explaining Spotify. Because it's fantastic, some of the messages we've been getting have just been like, I already listen on Spotify, what's going to happen now? As I said, on the 14th of June, all the episodes, the new ones, will just be on Spotify. And it's free, you can download the Spotify app for free in your app store or wherever you get your apps.
Yes.
Just download Spotify, it's there, it's free.
And you know, sometimes you listen to our podcast and there's ads at the start, well, there won't be any more.
Yeah.
No ads.
And also, we've put in for Danny Dyer because he does an exclusive podcast with Spotify and we've put in for him. So I just want to get him on. We're like, sweet chase. Okay. You mug. Yeah, that's what I'm after. Him and Rogan.
Okay. If you haven't signed up to the Patreon podcast yet, you're missing out, lads. On this week's extra podcast number 63, Smacks talked about the last time he shit himself, but he won't let us play that clip.
No. He can play the clip.
Yeah?
Yeah, because my cousin told me he's listening to the podcast now.
Okay.
So I'm going to test that knowledge by playing this clip and see will he come back to me on it.
Yes.
So this is, sorry now, if you're listening in the car with your parents, they're going to be horrified. This isn't pretty, okay, but it did happen. I went to the rugby club in Ross Grey.
Yeah.
And I reckon someone spiked me drink.
Why?
Because, like, I was coming home in a taxi and my cousin was getting out of his house and I was like, can I come in and use your toilet? He's like, wait, you smelly fucker. I was like, no, honestly, can I use your toilet? I was like, and then I jumped out of the taxi. He was holding the door. He wouldn't let me out. And I ran past him and just shat ever all over his hall and everything. And he lived like maybe half a kilometer from my house. And I was like, I am so sorry. So like, I didn't get it on my jeans, but I got like a little dribble in his hall. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I've been spiked. And then like, I like threw away my boxers or whatever. And then I walked home in my jeans. But then when I got to the entrance for our estate, just all over the place again.
Jesus.
So like basically I went home to my mother with like nothing on my lower half. And my mother was like, what? I was like, oh, I've been spiked. She was like, with drugs. I was like, having a clue, but I can't stop pooing. And I swear to God, on my mother's life, that story is not made up. That is 100% true. Monogamy. It's not for everyone, so to say, right? So polyamory.
Who says that?
I was talking to a lad down the supermarket. He said, monogamy isn't for everyone.
They're always saying that. I said, the supermarket crowd.
They're fucking wicked white. They're loose.
Ah.
But no, polyamory. We've been chatting about this week. It came up. We had a socially distanced podcast meeting of our team.
One of us suggested we all start a bit of polyamory.
Yeah.
As a topic.
I'll let you decide which one it was. You know what, Neil? He's fucking wild. Absolute filth over there in the corner.
What is it? What does it mean? It comes from the Greek word poly, meaning many, like polyphonic. And amor, meaning love.
Amor.
Manny Love. So this is like being a county player.
Yeah. Monogamy doesn't go well for county players. We're joking. People who identify as polyamorous may believe in an open relationship with a conscious management of jealousy and reject the view that sexual and relational exclusivity are necessary for deep, committed, long-term loving relationships. So basically, they're pure open. They're like, I'm going off down the road.
Well,
oh, you're telling me?
There's different levels.
Okay, right. Okay, go on. Tell me about the levels. So
there's other levels where you might agree to just have two girlfriends.
Right.
Or there could be any amount of you. So me, you, Neil and Maura could all be in one relationship. I know we kind of are, but we could take it to the next level.
These podcast meetings will get fucking very exciting, man. I mean, we can't do it outside anymore.
We're going to need the boardroom a little longer.
Your man comes in like, salad sandwiches.
Tea coffee.
How's that even possible? I mean, I've never seen anyone bend like that. Listen, Manuel, leave the sandwiches at the door and get out. No soup. No soup.
Polygamy. Is legal in 58 of the 200 countries around the world, including a lot of Africa and the Middle East. So, there's, how do you pronounce that? Polygamy? This is when a man has more than one wife. And then there's another version where a woman can have more than one husband.
Polyandry, yeah.
Which is a lot less common.
Yeah. So, basically, places like the Middle East, a guy you have four or five wives and not an eye bat at it.
We're only talking about this off air, ladies and gents. When we were in Abu Dhabi, we were in a swimming pool with a swim-up bar, which is a fantastic addition. And
to any holiday,
there was a couple from England who had renewed their vows. Or I think they had married later in life. They were in their 50s.
Yeah, I think they could have been either on their honeymoon or something like that. Anyway, yeah.
I do remember he had been in the British Army and had several bullet hole wounds on his chest.
When he chatted to us, I was like, I'm not that interested in talking to these people, but I'm going to be really nice to this guy.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, he would have knocked me off that stool.
I bet he's done some terrible things.
I reckon he's killed, man. Yeah.
So him and his new wife were holding hands and had a little kiss in the pool. No, very, very pleasant.
You kissed your grandmother like it.
We were right there. Nobody felt weird.
Yeah.
Little kiss. And the lifeguard started blowing the whistle. Oh, no, can't do that. That's totally frowned upon. I think it's illegal.
Yeah.
And we were like, wow, that's weird. That's tight. That's tough. You know what I mean? And at the same moment, a local man walked in with his three wives behind him.
Yeah.
And it's such an eye opener about the difference of their culture.
Yeah, that was totally legit. Like,
yeah,
I was like shit because I was like, I better slow up here, like, because you know what I mean. Like,
we were lit.
Fair play to that ex-British soldier. He bought me a few pints. I tried to swim out of the pool. I nearly fucking died.
I suddenly felt very self-conscious.
Back to polyamory here. Can we?
So why is it mostly men having multiple wives and not women having multiple fellas? Well, it's a small bit of a male fantasy, isn't it? Like, that's the way, like, if you saw a lad in a porno or in one of these scenarios and he's got a couple of wives, you're kind of going like, Jesus, be the Lord.
I suppose.
But then, if it's the other way around, and oh, a woman with two men, oh, disgusting.
Yeah.
That's the way society's harsh.
I suppose, like, if a fella's looking up threesome porn, like, he's not going to be watching two lads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's probably the reality of it. It's a skewed view from men, I would say. But, like, as you said, it's fantasy. To me, it's not reality. I know in some religions, and that's probably the norm, and there's probably people listening here who are in, like, who practice polyamory and stuff, and you know, each their own. More power to you if you do. For me, it's just not reality.
Why?
Lad, we struggle enough with one girlfriend. I'm trying to keep four or five of them in check. So my, you'd be wrecked. They'd all be like, he's a bollocks, aren't they? Like, I swear to God, if I had four or five in the go now, I'd come home and they'd be like, he's at it again, look. Oh yeah, they'd all be just like having a load of mutters. Give it out all the time.
They'd have a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, they'd have a WhatsApp group going. You never guess what you done this morning, the bastard. Levin Thylacy up again. And I told him, Geraldine, you know I told him. And then she's like, yeah, and I found his dirty stuff out in the shed, you know. Jesus Christ. Get away with nothing, boy. Get away with nothing.
I was watching and reading about the Mormons. We talked about them in the religion podcast. And how some sects of Mormonism, a man can marry multiple wives.
Mm.
A lot of lads marry two women, could be three, four, five. And they do it because it's kind. They feel it's like a religious calling to repopulate the earth with the followers of their version of Christianity.
Yeah. Okay.
So the women, you're thinking, how does the woman get over the very human feelings of jealousy? I'm married to this guy with 10 years. Now he's courting, as they call it, the courtship with this other girl. And they can't kiss even or have sex before marriage. They're just walking around like holding hands and stuff. And you have to watch your husband fall in love with another woman. And then they have a big meeting and you're like, yeah, okay, you're allowed to marry her as well. She's moving in with us and she's going to have babies. In fact, we're going to take turns having babies. But how they get over it, it seems, is that it's religion. They feel like it's a higher calling, that this is what God wants them to do.
Wow.
Isn't that mad? So they do. People, okay, in the Christian religions who have multiple wives, like they do have those normal feelings of you're spending too much time with her and all this, but it's like religion seems to get them through it.
Religion conquers all for these people.
Yeah. Well, try that with an Irish woman, lad. She'd blacken you. She'd blacken your two eyes. She'd blind you. More, I'd say this would go down well in your house.
I couldn't think of anything more uncomfortable than being, you know, naked in bed with another man and woman. And, like, you know, because if you do something to her, you're going to have to do something. Like, if you do something to her, like, you went down on her, you're not going to, but I don't want to kiss you after your mouth's been there. It'd just be awkward, like.
Some people are into that stuff though, like, you know what, like watching someone shag your missus.
Yeah.
What's that called? Is that
cuckold?
Ah, Neil, boy. Squeak off the fucking mouth there, boy.
But do you remember?
No, that is a real thing.
Yeah, but remember the meme that was going around of the big black lad with the massive.
Yeah,
willy.
What's his name?
Wardy.
Wardy. Yeah.
That was his job. He was a bully. Like shag women, and their fellas would pay to watch Wardy shag their women. So
I can't see.
There's different types of it, right? So there's solo polyamory, includes people who don't have primary partners but date multiple people. They remain mostly independent in their personal life, just kind of like students and whatnot.
Shagging. Yeah. They're just shaggers.
Top shaggers.
Yeah, okay, top shaggers. Yeah, we got that.
Polyfidelity refers to a group of three or more people who have a committed relationship with each other and do not date outside the group.
A truple.
Yeah.
So yeah, I watched. You know, Stacey Dooley does the documentaries on I think it's the BBC or W, one of the English channels.
Okay.
She lived with a truple for the weekend.
Wow.
So there was a man and a woman, and then they had a kid.
Yeah.
But then there was another woman. And yeah. They would be like, they'd be sitting down all having their dinner together, the kid and all. The kid, like, you know, they brought the kid up to...
He knew the crack.
Yeah, he knew the crack. They told him all about it. They're really open, like, so they're really open and discuss everything. And they'd be sitting at the dinner table going like, what's the plan for tonight? And then your one's like, oh, I'm wrecked, so I'm going to stay downstairs. And he's like, Grant, sure, we'll stay upstairs. So normal.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, like, I was watching it the first few minutes. I was like, this is crazy. And by the end, I was like, yeah. Like, you know, I was half kind of like,
you seem like a regular kind of guy.
Yeah. Now, in the end, I think one of them left and moved to Australia or whatever, like, and they were back to just a couple, like, but crazy, man.
How do you work it out if you have multiple wives? Do you have a wall chart of who's doing what? It's like, John,
chores.
Will you take the child to training? I can't, I'm riding Mary. Yeah.
But it seems so weird for us because of that thing in Ireland that, like, you know, this is how it should be done. And that's we're bet down probably from generations in the church to be told that's the way it is now. Whereas things are probably changing. Like, there's probably some, like, we're from the country, from a small town as well. Like, I reckon there's some mad shit going on in the cities. Like,
oh yeah, I get through the rest of these. Hierarchical polyamory means people who have primary partners to which they devote most of their time and attention, and secondary partners that receive less time and attention. The primary partner may have more power over important decisions.
Side bitch.
Is that like, I play the gab, but then, like, in the winter I play a bit of tag rugby?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, sidebird.
Non-hierarchical Hierarchical polyamory refers to people who don't have a hierarchy of partners. It's also called egalitarian polyamory or relationship anarchy. Each partner may receive equal time and attention. You may also have equal input into the important life choices. So like you, me and Annie, we're all a kind of a big relationship.
I sincerely
I'm not on the physical anything.
I just feel like I'm
in the relationship.
If it is me, you and Annie, then there's something, and something I'm going to have a stern chat with her.
I just get equal input in life choices.
Yeah, that's
the bit I meant.
That is true, yeah. When we were on like Zoom meetings today, she was just coming in and out of the room, but like, you're fucked up. Like, I was like, thanks, yeah, cheers. Yeah, I guess so. Can I join in your relationship, sir?
To a point.
Cheers. Okay. When you come in someday now, Neil's going to be like, I thought after polyamory. He's like, why are you in bed with my miss?
No. Are we going into swinging?
Yeah, swinging. Let's get into swinging. This is.
Well, not that we're getting into swinging.
Oh no! I've seen the Louis Theroux documentary on swinging. It's not for me, lad.
No.
Man, I'm way too insecure.
Yeah.
And stuff like, if I was in a relationship where we were swinging, and then like you know, like me missus was like, I'm going off there with this guy. I'd be like, oh, he's more ripped than me. He's probably funnier than me. He definitely has a bigger willy than me. He's got more money. He's got a nicer car. I'd be up the walls. She'll never come back. She'll never come back. I know she's only in the next room, but she'll never be back. I've lost her now. I've lost her.
I love how you're worried about his car.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be outdone in anything. He's got me in all departments, this hypothetical guy.
There's swingers clubs around Ireland, man. This goes on.
Rumours are like swingers locally and stuff, but I mean, I think that's like they just dress well. You know, in a small town, it's like, oh, they're swingers. They're out with another couple. It's like, no, that's a double date. I don't think everyone's like shagging.
More, go on, any rumours of swingers around Drumcondra there now or the North Meath area?
No, but I have. Have you heard of Killing Kittens? It's this organization. No. It's this organization and they organize swingers parties. So I think they had a party in Kildare sometime, maybe a year or two ago. And you pay, I think, like €50 a ticket. Might be cheaper for women. And you just arrive at this house, very nice drinks, party. About 11 o'clock, everybody just goes wild and takes their clothes off and, you know, gets
like
busy.
Coppers.
How much did you say a ticket was?
I think €50. Let me just double check it here. But yeah.
She has to check the receipt in her wallet.
Hey, someone has to pay for the cleaner.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. No, you've seen that Louis Theroux one on swinging when like he goes into, what's the name of the place, Neil? He goes in, you know where he goes in behind the blanket? Have you seen that one?
No. Yeah.
He goes in and they're basically like, there's like seven or eight couples in this little room, like on mattresses, just shagging. And he comes out, he's white as a ghost. He's just horrified at what he's seeing.
Do you ever see a lad going fishing and he has a bag of worms? Yeah. It's just flesh everywhere.
No, I don't like it.
Dublin woman interviewed for the Irish Mirror and she claimed that swinging saved her 20-year marriage. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, please.
We did invite one person to the house and then we were thinking, we went to do a bit more of this and we got into the parties. The average person is 35 or up and the majority of kids and a lot of them are grown up. Parties are normally couples and a woman will be asked, but a man will never be there on his own. Okay.
Okay, so.
All right.
Yeah, but I think like, if men were asked on their own, there are 100 lads there. Like, yeah. All going to see the match the weekend. Not sock on them, like.
One person, when you're talking about having multiple partners and they all know about it, one man on the internet could not be ignored.
Yeah.
Dan Bilzerian. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
American businessman, entrepreneur, won a lot of money on poker, was left a bit of a trust fund because his dad was on Wall Street. So basically, this lad is rich. He's a big fucker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a good looking fucker.
Yeah, he's got a big beard. He looks like he's in the Navy SEALs or something.
Yeah.
He's ripped, plays a lot of poker, has about 3.5 million Instagram followers. And in a lot of his photos are beautiful women in bikinis.
Yeah. There's,
all over him.
There's one where he's just eating Nutella from the jar and there's around 25 women draped across him. Like,
Like, Max is just dreaming about the Nutella.
I'm just thinking, like, I'm thinking, how is he taking so many calories in and still maintaining that physique? I completely had ignored the bikini-clad women.
I'll be on steroids.
This lad, he's like a modern-day Hugh Hefner.
Absolutely.
That's probably the best way to describe him. Anybody, I'd say a lot of people of our listeners probably follow him on Instagram already. If not, they're probably just, I guarantee they're just typing it right now into Instagram.
Yeah, DanBlizerian.
Yeah.
I've got a clip here where he's been interviewed. Here is the $1 million question.
You keep them all happy. Like, you must have certain...
That's hard, actually. That is actually probably like the most difficult piece of this. Because... Yeah, I mean, you gotta like sleep with all these girls. If you don't, then like they get, you know, like upset. So there's like definitely a big sexual obligation, I would say.
Just God love you.
But you have to, like, if it's, I don't know, it's like, I mean, it's kind of, we could go off on this tangent for a while, but, you know, the girls, I guess, I think it's like 2 to 3 months, and then they usually just like all get too attached. They can't deal with the situation. But up until that point, you know, you have to kind of like, you can't spend too much time with a girl, because then that will accelerate that situation. Then she'll get to the point where, you know, she's just too invested and she can't deal with the other girls. So you have to spend like a somewhat limited amount of time with them, but enough time that they're like happy, right? And then you have to keep the rotation. So that if, you know, some of them leave, it doesn't matter. And because you're okay with letting them leave and they can date other guys and they can do whatever they want, it makes them not necessarily want to do that as much as if you told them not to and you tried to control them. So it's a whole crazy dynamic. I don't know.
Poor Dan, huh?
Jesus, lad, he's fucking hands full there.
Couple of weeks working in the meat factory in Oscarano put Dan right, I'll tell you that.
He sounded like he was managing a soccer team.
He's like a fella with the weight of the world on his shoulders. Oh, no.
Got to rotate them.
Yes. He talks about them like they're fucking something in his fridge. Got to rotate them, you know. You leave them too long, they might go off.
It's not black.
Fucking yogurt then. You know what I mean? It's he's an exceptional fucking case, like.
I don't know what to make of him. At first I thought like it was gas and fair play to him, but he runs a modelling agency and a lot of the girls work for the modelling agency.
He's blurring the lines there of like... Do you work for me? And then, like, you know, the whole, you get a little promotion, like, you know, if you, it's a bit fucking weird now.
There's got to be a few of them girls who are thinking, Jesus, if I go off with Dan, I'll be on his Instagram and loads of people will follow me.
Mm.
That's modern life, isn't
that's,
it?
That's probably the way things are going.
Hugh Hefner, though, the original, the OG, how did he do it, lad?
Was it swinging or polyamory? Like, I don't know what category to put Hugh Hefner in. Was it polyamory? Was he swinging? Or was he just a shagger?
He's definitely a top shagger.
I mean, because they are my three columns at the moment now. And like, if you can tell me which one Hugh goes in, I'll stick him in there.
Maura, you were reading about...
Maura, you were a playboy girl.
Yeah.
No, I was listening to an interview with Holly Madison. So you remember her? She was from the girls from the Playboy Mansion, that TV show. She was like Hugh Hefner's main girlfriend. And she was talking about what it was now that Hugh's dead and she's her own life and she's married and she's happy. She was saying what it was actually like. So she was about 20 when she moved into the Playboy Mansion. And basically... Every Wednesday and Friday night, all the girls, there maybe would have been about 9 of them, would go into, after they'd been out for a club night, they would go into Hugh's bedroom. They'd be all quite drunk, you know, maybe smoked a bit of weed. Hugh might offer them Quaaludes. He told Holly that he, back in the 70s, these were called thigh openers. Some girls would have sex with Hugh's. Like, girls would, you know, do bits to each other, kiss, whatever, perform for him while he watched. If
are
a girl
you singing
was,
old song or?
Yeah, if a girl was Shannos. On her period, if a girl was on her period, she'd keep her bottoms on, and yeah, she just, I think that,
it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Holly, from her perspective, said she didn't enjoy it, but. It was a means to an end in that, you know, she got a very big clothing allowance. She got her accommodation paid for and it gave her a profile. So I don't think she was actually in it because she loved Hugh, you know, but it was just a situation she found herself in, was like, I'll make the best of this. So fair play to her.
It's a dangerous slope, though. I think this whole, like, look, for some people it's religion, it works. You know, if you do it, fair play. Just from my point of view, I think it's a slippery slope. I mean, just on that Louis Theroux documentary, right? Like, and talking about, like, speaking of polyamory, the whole thing. There's one guy in it who's like, it's actually heartbreaking. So his missus is like, it's been so good for our marriage, you know, and like she's off shagging a lad downstairs. And then like it cuts upstairs and your man's sitting out making tea while his wife's been drilled downstairs. And then like Louis is like, how do you feel? And then your man is just going, you can just tell. It's like they just kicked a puppy right in the chops. Your man's just heartbroken. His wife's downstairs and he's like, I mean, if it makes her happy, I'm thinking, you need to run. Get the kids. Get out of there. So as much as people say it saves their marriage, and it's like, there has to be a downside, because if someone's not a little bit into it, it's a whole strange dynamic for a couple.
It's a big risk.
Yeah. But it's worked for some people.
Yeah.
Because famous people are at it, lad. Out there. There's case studies, boy.
Oh, I don't know what to make. I even feel bad commenting about the whole Will Smith thing.
Yeah, to me, his wife went off with a fella. I mean, I don't know if it's polyamory or is, I tell you what it is, polyacting the bollocks. So
they call each other life partners now, not husband and wife. They had some sort of a break.
So they're like those old Irish couples who don't want to get a divorce because it's still frowned upon in Ireland, but they live together and have two front doors. Is that what it is?
There's some amount of that in Ireland.
I could not believe hearing some of those stories, like, of people who, like, you tinker together, but they're not. Like,
50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And they're just together.
I suppose it's just a comfort of life, innit? You don't. What's the fucking point at that age? I mean, I don't think that should be the attitude, but, like, it goes on.
One quick one. Russell Brand was talking about, he went through a phase of having a lot of threesomes with another male friend.
Again, polyamory.
This is not
or a shagger. We have yet to...
He was a top shagger.
Yeah, okay.
He was just shagging. He said, it never ended well. One occasion I accidentally got some sperm on his leg. He responded in a way that was sort of tit for tat.
He was having a fucking spunk fight with
him. And this led to war all over the world. So I think we'll leave it there. If any of our listeners are in a open or a polygamous relationship, let us know how it's working for you, or any good threesome stories. I mean, we've heard rumors about famous people in open relationships. I'm not going to say it, but like it does blow my mind every time I hear one. I'm like, what them?
Yeah. What are we looking for like correspondence? Because I mean, I don't want to open Pandora's box here.
You did.
But if people are in polyamory relationships, please let us know how it works. I mean, change our mind. We're, I guess I can probably say from all of us here in the team, we're all a bit skeptical of it because it's just outside the norm. It's.
Yeah. Look, I'll suggest it to herself, but I can't see.
You're going for it. Like.
No.
You'll be like, Smacks is jumping in tonight.
Not for me. It's not for me, okay?
No, it's not for me. But if you are in a poly... Look, we'll keep you anonymous. No problem here, 100%. Let us know. We're just looking to get information on this. We want to get educated, as per usual. Sorry if anyone was fucking... got sick during that discussion. I had a nice intro for Noel Furlong, but I'll have to scrap that because it's not him who's in the hot seat this week for the news. It is the one and only Paddy Fong. Paddy, how are you?
Well, John.
How are you? How are things?
No hassle. What? Noel, he's not around him. Noel, he's getting the second jab.
Oh, he's getting the second jab. Jeez, that was quick.
Well, he didn't want to wait the 4 weeks.
Okay.
He made him give it to him.
Did he?
He went in and he went in with a different cap on then, and he got one dollar arm as well. Well, he said he got a right shot while he was in town, you know. He wanted to be covered for the pubs opening.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, he said he would if he got it.
Oh, whoop.
Oh. And Padre got it as well. Noel's out this late.
Did he?
He'd be that age, you would, I'd say, yeah.
What age is he?
Jesus, he must be in his 40s, isn't he? What is
Jesus
he?
Christ.
Sean Hall, I'd say you'd have to cut him open and count the rings. No hassle. He'd be older than me anyway.
Yeah, yeah. What did you, Paddy?
Well, I went to school with Noel, but nice. I skipped on. I skipped ahead.
You skipped ahead?
Yeah, well, I went from first class to caretaker.
You're having some difficulties there. Stand.
I seen a fella. We're inside in school, and the fella drove in. A fella drove in to do the shoots.
Right.
Ah. Ah. The thrill I've seen them letters go up. Jeez, they must have been 100 yards high. I wouldn't be great with the sums now.
Yeah. 100 yards.
Wouldn't be a hectic.
Whoa, some letter.
Jeez, I need to go to the moon. I started working with uncles then.
Did you?
I left school.
A first class.
And the guards pulled me over. I was driving a combine down the Mitchelstown Road. And they said, what age are you? And so I said, I don't know. It's probably all the one. We ended up in a high speed chase.
In a combine.
Two squad cars following me in the combine. And we got, they were well able to keep into me now.
And that's right.
To be honest, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, I knew the road.
Yeah.
The big yellow New Holland, she ran out of juice. And they said, why didn't you stop? And I said, oh, I had the earmuffs in, I didn't hear you. And they said, but we pulled you over, we were talking to you. And I said, I don't remember that now. See, you could have the wrong man. If I were you, I'd call for backup. Could have, your men could be on the loose. I could have got loose. You don't want some looper going around the road, Kathleen, you know? It told me, like, I wasn't around. I got put off the road.
No way.
Until I was 12. It was the toughest 4 years of my life. I have a bit of news.
Yes.
Local news.
Oh, lovely.
The Bridge Bear have a new bear maid. She's not from around.
Is she?
Oh, she's a fancy woman.
What do you mean a fancy woman?
She got a lot of work done.
What kind of work?
When I said that, I asked, was it Hellies that done the work?
Or who was
they do a lot of the work around here, but not. It was some fella from Dublin. And I tell you, her teeth. Want to see her teeth? They're wicked white. They were like the lines of a new bypass. I say she never drank a cup of tea. She got some sort of a treatment done.
Okay, she got her teeth whitened.
But there was none of that back in my day.
Was there not?
You'd be lucky to have teeth at all. A lot of people are born with no teeth.
I think most people are, Ben.
And then they said her lips weren't her own at all.
Whose were they?
She got him off some fella in Dublin. Yeah, well, they work anyway. She never stops talking. She got bits put into her hair. She got bits put into the hair. Didn't her own hair at all.
Extensions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I said, it's like putting a new roof in a hen house. Huh? Cover. Keeps out the rain, but the eggs taste the same. And the hair, could be the hair of a horse.
Is it?
I heard that.
Who said that?
I heard it around. There was none of it in my day. You had your own hair. You didn't have anyone else's. She got the breast done.
Did she? Her boobs?
She got a bit put on them, yeah.
Good.
You wouldn't remember now back. The first woman I saw with that was the lifeguard over in America.
Yeah?
And you remember she was on the television show?
Cindy Crawford?
No. Baywatch.
Pamela Anderson?
Yeah. She has the sharks he's running away by. Two O'Neill, size 5, coming in. Like footballs in a pillowcase. Yes, that's the new bear, mate, anyway. But you'll go in for a look on you will.
I will, yeah, I'll go for a pint.
I'd say you would if you got it. Local news. Lofty Lonergan, he's looking for a new apprentice plumber.
Okay.
The last fella, he fell into a hole, and there was no sign of him. There was no sign of him anyway.
How long's he gone?
He's gone. Into the hole. The parents were wicked upset.
I'm not surprised.
Lofty said, the new apprentice can stay with the parents. So there'll be no hassle, like.
He's just moving in another son.
Yeah. No hassle. He must be, the candidate, must be willing to work hard Knowledge of pipe would be essential. Call 052 612 5299 and ask for Big Lofty. Tell him you're an expert in pipe and you're looking for a start.
What was the number again?
You want vision? Hey, he stuck for a hand at the weekend, you know, apprentice.
Who Lofty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He going first fix in Highlands Cottage. We fall in, give him a hand to help out, really.
What day?
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
7 on the button and pick up.
Okay, so okay. Right. 7 on the button, isn't it?
Seven on the button now, I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I won't be around there. I won't be around there Saturday.
Not on Saturday.
No, I'm spraying nettles for Shammy Burke. They're going out his ear. That wouldn't be hectic. You'll give Lofty a hand, you will.
I don't know if I'm around.
You'll give him a hand. You will.
Okay.
I'm after saying you'll be around. Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Sunday morning, 3 of us will go and we'll wire into it.
Okay.
Right, I'll pick up Sunday morning.
What time?
8 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, Jeez, I won't be around now Sunday.
What are you going to
do? I'm going, I won't be around now Sunday. I'm ferrying lads into mess. The daycare bus didn't allow to go over the COVID.
Okay.
I run them in and out in ones and twos. I run them in and out. And I dosed the whole thing in bleach. No hassle.
What, the car?
Yeah, the Astra had never been so clean.
Yeah.
For the COVID. So you'll fall in Sunday, you know, you will.
You'll go on fine, so yeah.
No hassle, no hassle. Next week, now we'll make it up.
Okay,
we'll go at it.
What day? What day do you want to do?
We'll go ahead and right out.
Okay.
No, we'll really get stuck in now.
Okay.
Next week, right?
Yeah, okay.
Monday morning now.
Yeah, okay, what time?
No missing, right?
Okay, what time?
I'll see you out at Lofty's now for 7:30, right?
Right, okay.
Would you believe? Would you believe it now? I won't be around next week.
Wait, where?
There's a tree after falling.
After falling now already?
The tree has to be cleared out of Donovan's. There's a fine big tree by.
Is it?
Myself and Noel now, we take the firewood out of it.
Yeah.
No, Noel said it's not falling until Sunday night. So Noel would be wicked good with the weather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He just knows it's going to fall.
God, he'd be spot on. Just freakish now at times.
But he'd just ring you up?
Oh yeah, he'd say there'd be a tree falling and he'd have it down into a tee by. He could have gone professional at the weather. Oh my God, would he take timber? What if he got it? That's the local news now.
Paddy, thanks a million. I'll see you on the Monday or Tuesday.
I'll give you a shout.
Okay, thanks.
I want to make sure I'll be around.
Good man. She's a go-go woman. That means she's super busy. It's not a dancer at a nightclub. Maureen, what is your mystery topic this week?
My mystery topic this week is babysitting. So it's nothing to do with the fact that we get loads of letters in correspondence from lads claiming, oh yeah, I got with my babysitter. Sure you did.
Watching way too much porn.
I want to know, why don't lads do their fair share of babysitting duties? So I was listening to the radio this morning on the way into work, and this lad was talking about Irish people living in Dubai. And he said that the reason that many of Irish people over in Dubai have maids is because when it comes to having kids, there's no grannies or aunties to look after them. And I felt like nearly going into studio, kicking the door down and be like, what about their feckin' uncles or grandfathers? But I didn't. So, want to know, have you ever babysat children? You know, has anybody let you look after their children? What were you like to be babysat as a child? Smacks, is there any of the minor team that you managed that you'd let babysit Ted Hastings?
Fucking none of those. They can't look after themselves, those fuckers.
And why do married men call it babysitting when they're looking after their own children? So, the floor is yours, lads.
That's a very good point, yeah.
I babysat a child once, and it was in one of those kind of, like a baby recliner.
A bouncer, like. Yeah, I know the ones you're on about, yeah.
Baby was vibing out. He was like at three quarters.
Yeah. It's like a lazy boy for like kids.
Yeah, and he stayed in it for the 2 hours and that was it. I just stared at him. That was it. That was me brushed.
Supposed to leave him in that for 2 hours.
He seemed happy enough.
He wasn't around.
I'm not going to mess with a winning formula, Maura.
I have a lot of baby sitting experience.
Really?
Yeah, well, bear in mind when Abby arrives on the scene, I was like 16.
Yeah.
Or 15, whatever it was. So like when she was a baby, she was great for like getting attention from women.
Mm.
So I'd horse Abby into the trolley, I was going to say, the pram.
The trolley.
On a Saturday. And then I'd go downtown and like, you know, go for a stroll like with all the boys. But I'd have the child and then like loads of girls coming over and being like, oh, she's lovely. Boom. I mean.
Texting them all.
There you go. You know what I mean? Abby was the icebreaker. But no, like I would have fed her, winded her, changed her nappy and all that, would have been well used to it, yeah? I fucking reared her. Mother would be like, I'll kill you now. No, but, no, I did. I gave a hand, a big
one. You done
your
bit?
I done my bit, yeah, 100%. And weirdly, I think in the last couple of years, people have like started to trust me with kids. As in like, so when Annie went wedding dress shopping, she went with her sister who's got two kids.
Yeah.
Now she didn't throw the two kids on me. Now that would have been, you know, like I'm only at intermediate standard right. When it comes to babysitting. I'm not up senior yet.
Yeah.
So like two kids, I probably would have lost the will to live and left the kids alone in the house and just been in the corner of the room, just rocking backwards and forwards and like, this is too much. But she left me with the smallest.
Yeah.
Who was maybe a year and a half at the time.
Ooh, could he walk?
Yeah, which is dangerous. I mean, it's easier to remind them when they can't walk. When they can walk, I swear to God, I found myself in like the squat position, the crab position, just with my two arms out in front of them like a barrier, just like batting things out of the way. And you know, our house isn't childproofed because we don't have any kids yet. So like,
yeah.
You know when people childproof it, they just like fucking foam on everything.
Oh, there's little child gates.
Yeah, and presses, like you can't open presses and all this kind of stuff. Like, I swear to God, I was down Annie's sister's house and I was trying to get a glass out of press. It was like Crystal Maze. Unload this, unlock that, stamp twice, flick your hands, wiggle your butt, and then, like, you know, the press opens. This is all child lock shit. Like.
Yeah.
But I minded him, and I had to give him his bottle, and I had to give him his little bit of lunch, and he put him down for a sleep. And then, you know, when he wakes up, pick him up, change his nappy, the whole, no bother, lads.
How long ago was that?
A year ago.
You're still talking about it.
Yeah, but I felt a massive amount of achievement from it, you know. And then one day, like, I try and be like that little cool kind of uncle to the kids, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, come for a sleepover. You know what I mean? Sometime, like. And then, like, a couple of weeks ago, then Annie's sister was like, did you tell the child you take her for a sleepover? I was like, oh, yeah. It was something Annie was said that. Well, she keeps going on about. And I was like, oh, fuck. some weekend I'm away. But no, I don't mind doing it. Because Abby and that, I'm all right with kids. Like I'm okay around kids. Like I'm not like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I fucking hate kids. Yeah. I will babysit. I'm willing to babysit. I think people's problem is, are they willing to let me babysit?
Sure, we don't be around anyway, in the words of Paddy Fong.
That is the thing. Yeah, I'm very rarely around, but I'm capable.
If people have those little baby doors that you put at the bottom of the stairs and stuff.
Yeah, baby gates.
A baby gate. Is there a baby crush?
With a shirt. For nappies.
I don't.
No, kind of, you know, like a crush for cattle.
Yeah, okay. You well, what, you're not injecting the kid, like.
And they get narrower. Then maybe if you wanted to get the kids, you know, I don't know what people do with children. Into the sitting room.
They put them into high chairs. They don't need crushes. Yeah. So,
put them into a high chair. Yeah, a pen.
They do with play pens. Yeah, play pen.
A bit of a pen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It did seem to be gone with the flood. Like, I tell you, if I have a child, I'm getting a massive play pen.
You wouldn't need an electric fence or anything. Just a regular.
I'm going to pad like the walls of that play pen and then just be like, well, at least you know they're safe in there. They can't get hurt.
A ball pool. Is that what they call them?
That's what I'm going to turn one of the rooms into a ball, like Peter Pan world. Just loads of balls firing me.
Great. Off you go.
I'll see you at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Happy hours.
Knock twice on the door if you want a sandwich. Other than that. No, but you know what? There's a lot of stuff goes on over there. Like, the kids are just plonked in front of the television.
Yeah.
And I'm always, like, if I am babysitting someone's kid, I'm always, like, you know, trying to have the crack with them or play with them or chat to them because, like, I don't want to just be like, oh, how'd you go on my child? Not a peep out. Of course it wasn't a peep out. They were 6 inches from the television watching Peppa Pig. There wasn't a peep out. They've been hypnotised for the last 3 hours. Now they have an English accent and want to jump in muddy puddles. So
I read this study that, you know, when you're pushing a child around in a pram, right? Mm-hmm. And you might put a little book in front of them. So just like, you might have like a colouring book.
Oh, yeah.
Or something. That their eyes get so used to seeing colour then. And then they're growing up watching like all kids' programmes are real bright colours and stuff. And this woman said, well, my baby was so young, they didn't really know what they were looking at anyway. I just put like the dictionary in front of them. Just to get their eyes used to black and white.
And that child went on to be Barack Obama.
Maybe. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Child doesn't know what they're looking at anyway. Why do we start with like Peppa Pig? We put on an old documentary or something.
David Attenborough.
Louis through Swingers there. So the child doesn't know what's going on.
It's an odd one though, isn't it? Like if you're walking down the street with your child in a pram and they're reading a thesaurus. I mean, someone's going to be like, wow. You know,
no, he can't talk yet around.
Like, he's really into it. He really loves, you know, he loves words.
We're still on A.
Yeah.
I don't know, Maura, are you good at babysitting?
I have actually never been let mind a child, so...
Never been let?
What? Yeah. That's an indictment that you are, is it?
Well, I think people judge me for the fact that, you know, Ted occasionally goes out onto the road when he's not supposed to, and I'm like...
Shits in your neighbour's lawn?
Yeah, I'm like, he'll make his own way home, it'll be fine, and, you know, it's probably bad doggy owning, but I have a little tracker on him so I can see if he goes too far and then I'll go get him. So
can you get them for the kids?
Yeah,
they call mobile phones.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
little sat nav on the kid.
Yeah. I think we should throw it out to the listeners. I'm sure there's some great babysitting stories there of times people have to mind children. So
give us your babysitting stories. Would you let the two Johnnies mind your kids? Would you let Maura mind your kids? That's what we really want, people's opinions on that.
Adds to the price of a night out.
Does, yeah. What's the going
rate?
What's the going rate now for babysitting?
I heard
50, it'd have to be 50
quid. 50, yeah. Because like they're not like they might be gone for what? If parents go out at 9 o'clock, should the kids already in bed?
All you 9 o'clock waste time. If I can get a babysitter, she's coming in at 5 o'clock in the day, him or her coming in at 5 o'clock in the day, and I'm saying you're getting the kids up for breakfast to the babysitter. He's dead at night. Like, this, I hate this. Like, I've often heard couples going to me, I must go home and let the babysitter off. I'm like, they only do it once a week. The fuck are you letting them off for? Like, you can work them, pay them, you know, have your night out.
I suppose the babysitter could stay over.
The best babysitter is, like, if you're lucky enough to have them, is grandparents.
Yeah.
Ship them off. Fucking no worries. Like, grandparents can look after anything. Or any, like, if you give them an alien, they'd be like, I'll figure it out, don't worry.
Well, E.T., hello.
Yeah, oh, who's the coochie-coochie-coo? Goodbye, E.T.
Have a cup of tea.
Yeah. Give us your babysitting correspondence. What's the going rate? Would you let two Johnnies babysit your kids? The dog, man.
Well.
My dog, I'm babysitting him all week.
How's it going?
No poos in the house.
Great. A
lot of wee And but like sometimes I get angry with him, you know, and I'd be shouting like, "Ah, oh, Ted, you know, don't piss in the house." And then he falls asleep, and I'm like, "Oh, he's lovely." Then he wakes up, and I'm back to like, "You and me aren't going to get on, pal." The other day, I pulled a bracelet out of his mouth that he was trying to swallow, and then you know my pop socks,
yeah,
they're quite small, you know, the invisible socks. To pull a whole one out of his neck there last night,
jeez,
he will. There's nothing that dog won't try and swallow.
If it hits the ground, they own it, man.
Yeah, crazy stuff. That's a little doggy update for you. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number two to get in touch. You can email us podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie and you can get us on Instagram at thetwojohnnies. And also, do not forget, Monday, June the 14th, this podcast will be just exclusively on Spotify.
Yeah, the full thing. There'll be a bit of it there.
Yeah, there'll be like a bit of it. We'll tease you and then you'll have to go to Spotify. So just do it now. Save yourself the bother of 2 weeks' time. Now, going to end the podcast as is tradition with our
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
What have you got, John Boy?
My Yurt of the Week is, you know, I had a thing here about a jacket I bought online.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That famous jacket.
The famous Illuminous jacket that looked like I was in Daft Punk. Yep. Well, a good friend of ours saw it, thought it was class. And if you go on Today FM's Instagram or social media, you will see that Niall Horan and Anne-Marie are being interviewed by our good friend, afternoon presenter Fergal Darcy.
Uncle Ferg, boy.
And what is Fergal wearing? He's wearing my jacket that I sent to him.
Yes, I love it, man. I love it.
Several people messaged, been like, "Did Fergal buy the same jacket as you?" No.
It was a gift.
It was a gift. And he rocks it.
Man, he looks so, like, he can get away with it.
Yeah, he can get away with it.
You know what I mean? He just rocks it. So I'm loving that on Fergal. I've got a dirt to kick us off.
Oh.
There's a new chain opened up in London. A burger franchise.
Okay.
What's it called? Smacks Burgers.
No.
I'm not happy, lad. One of the patrons sent it on to me today in a message.
How do they spell it?
S-M-A-C-K-S. The exact same way I smell it. Smacks Burgers. Now, seemingly, this fella said that the burgers are absolutely unbelievable and it's a franchise. So he was like, "You should try and buy a franchise." I'm like, "Well, I can't buy a franchise with my name on it." So I'm thinking about getting the lawyers involved. I'm going to sue those guys.
What kind of a place is it?
It's like, if I was to compare it to something, it's like Bobo's.
Okay.
So it's pretty gourmet burgers, like somewhere between Bunsen and Bobo's, I would say, if I was describing it. Burgers and shakes, yeah.
Oh, they look good.
Burgers look incredible, yeah, in fairness to them.
At least it's not some shite place.
Yeah, so if the owners of Smacks Burgers want to get in touch with me, let's see, can we come to some sort of an arrangement here? You know what I mean? I don't want to threaten the law on you. I mean, maybe if, like, you give me a voucher or
something. Look, they're doing a deal. 2-for-1 on Smackdown Burger.
Ah, they've stolen my whole idea of setting up my own
wrestling.
I was saying to you a while ago, I was thinking about setting up a food.
Yes.
Entity.
Emporium.
Emporium, yeah. Now it's been stolen from me and it's in London. But, you know, get in touch, Smack Burgers.
Okay, my dirt of the week is, look, it made national news. There not being enough bins in public spaces. And I can confirm, John.
Yes, regardless of, like, the session or atten, it's just there's not enough bins.
We went to the car park in Crome Woods when I was, I don't know if I mentioned I was hiking, but
you hiking wanker.
I could not find a bin. I had my rubbish, my chicken roll wrappers and all. I had to carry them 27 kilometres tied to my back. Until I got to Marley Park. Then in Marley Park, I couldn't find a bin.
Ah.
And I had to drive them all the way back to Tipperary to my own bins.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like the other day when we were in Dublin, we got out at Drury Street car park.
Yeah, you had something in your hand.
Yeah, I think I had a coffee cup or something like that. I forgot my keep cup. And we were walking. You were like, "Where are you walking?" And we walked and walked. And you were like, "Seriously, where are you walking?" And I was like, "I'm wanting to find a bin." We're wanting for ages. Stick more bins out. Jesus Christ. They're giving out about the rubbish in Dublin. Now, look, there was a big crowd, like, and they're all having a few drinks, whatever. But, like,
put out recycling.
Put out more bins.
Yeah, plastic, glass.
There were, like, loads of rubbish left around. But they're all left around the bin. I mean, if you can't put it in.
Well, this is a metaphor for life, isn't it?
To be honest, if you've had 10 pints outside, you're not going to walk home with a bag of rubbish, like.
No. If you're going drinking cans in the park now, you should bring your own bag, maybe.
100%, yeah, yeah.
But I was coming through care late one evening and I did see an elderly couple stuffing bin bags into the public bins.
That's pure evil, lad.
Yeah, I didn't recognise them either.
You want to be stoned in public for that kind of stuff.
Oh, man. I was going to pull up and give them a doing.
Do you know what now? The only local paper, name and shame.
I don't know who it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows who it was, I will out them.
We will out them here on this podcast. Yurt of the week, lad. Real quick. Iced coffees in McDonald's.
Well,
now I don't know who else is doing them, but like it was a sunny day the other day, and I've never had an iced coffee in this country, you know, because it's never been nice enough.
They're big in America.
Yeah, I would have had one in America, so I went and got like, what are they called, Neil?
The frappe, is it like the cream and stuff?
Yeah, is it like a frappuccino? I don't know, frappe, yeah, some fancy name like that in McDonald's. And I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to like this. So I got an Americano as well, just in case I didn't like the frappuccino thing, like. But I didn't get to have the Americano because I can only have two coffees a day with the migrants, so I have to watch it. But I had it's like a milkshake, it's like a coffee milkshake, but it's like you get to hit it, like caffeine. You know, the caffeine, so you get to hit off it and it still tastes, oh wow,
was it very cold?
It was really cold.
So they make it with hot coffee and they put ice into it.
I honestly, if someone could get in touch from McDonald's, who works in McDonald's, and tell us how to make it. While you were off hiking, I had a podcast there, so I just caught up on all the podcasts I like, right? Yeah. I was behind and I went and got me icy frappe fucking whatever it is, and went through the drive through car wash, so vibing out with myself, having a nice little Sunday, boy.
Lovely.
Just me, myself and I, boy. That's it for this week.
That's it.
More madness. What a way to finish, you know. Wow, we're really living on the edge.
Okay.
Frappuccinos from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
And from me, Neil.
Keep the head, boy. Good days are coming. Outdoor summers.
Good lad.
Fucking get your pints.